So to give people a background, the building you're talking about is when you decided to make a masjid or a community center, we really just started up as a masjid, right?
Yeah.
And the piece of property that you found was like three blocks from World Trade Center, from Ground Zero. So they started calling it the Ground Zero Mosque. That's what you're talking about.
Exactly.
And it was a big hullabaloo, but he jumped on that and he said, I'll buy it from you, which is probably a publicity, just to get part of.
100% of publicity. Yeah.
So he has to get part of the pie.
And so he sent us a formal offer, and when he sent us the formal offer, he sent it to, I think he sent it to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal at the same time. And that in his offer, he said, listen, I want to buy the building from you. I want to give you 25% more than what you paid for it. And in the event that you accept my offer, you have to agree that you will not build your mosque within a specific radius of the World Trade Center.
Okay.
So I immediately, was obviously reacting. I was reacting to so many different things that were happening so quickly, and we weren't prepared for what was coming at us. And what I ended up doing is I picked up the phone and I called him and I got him on the phone. And obviously there was a certain level of respect for who Donald Trump is, right, in our business. He's, he's one of the most accomplished real estate players, whether you like him or don't like him. He has accomplished, tremendous success in his career, in his business career. Whether he did it right or whether he did it wrong, he's accomplished it, right? And so there was obviously a level of humility when I picked up the phone and I called him and I said, immediately, Mr. Trump, thank you for the offer that you sent me, but I have a couple of, I have a couple of questions and things that I want to discuss with you, because obviously part of doing business is never not entertaining something or never not letting something flush out. You always want to drill a little deeper. You want to be curious. You want to investigate things when they come on your door. And so part of what I did immediately is I said, thank you for sending the offer. And, why only 25%? I said, the building, and this was, by the way, one of the best real estate deals that I've ever done in my career, okay? The building was appraised for 10 times what I had bought it for. Sure. By CBRE. So I immediately said to him, and CBRE is one of the most recognized appraisal firms in the world, right? They're probably top three in our business globally, recognized globally as one of the top three, and they appraised the building for almost 10 times what we had paid for it. And so his first remark was one of anger and puzzlement. Why did you only pay that much for it if it was worth 10 times what this appraisal from CBRE? And I immediately said to him, I said, what difference does it make? How many good deals have you done in your life? We were talking about deals a few minutes ago. What makes a good deal, right?
Yeah.
And so obviously a good deal, the first part of making a good deal is on the acquisition, right? When you acquire something, you have to have bought it right in order for it to be a good deal. That's the first criteria of a good deal, is on the acquisition. And so he started clamming down, and now he was angry. How did you get this for this value, and it's being said here? And very candidly, at that moment in time, there wasn't a price that you could have given me to sell that real estate.
Yeah.
If you had come up to me and offered me $100 million, I don't think I would have sold the real estate. And only Allah knows what my intention was. But, looking back now, I don't know. Maybe I should have sold it for $100 million. But
it would have looked like you gave up. Because you can't put a price tag on winning and losing battles. And that's a publicity battle that, everyone sees that you won, right? So you can't buy those types of wins and losses. That's why when you say I can't put a price tag on it, it's not the building. The building symbolizes a struggle and a fight. Like in this and in this field, if you look like you're someone who gives up easily and just capitulates, right, you're not going to get so far.
100%.
Yeah. So the conversation would just ended at, yeah, I don't want to sell this, or?
Oh, no. So that was the first part of the conversation. But then I asked him a question after I told him what the valuation by CBRE was. I said, you know, Mr. Trump, I want to ask you a question. I said to him, I said, are you ethnically an American Indian, or are you the son of immigrants, like I am the son of immigrants?
Yeah.
I said, did your parents come from Scotland or Ireland, or, yeah, you know, did somebody come from somewhere, or are you an American Indian? And he got all flustered at this point because he didn't see this one coming, yeah, right? He didn't see this one coming. I said to him, your second part of your proposal to me has asked me to essentially establish the first Muslim-free zone in the United States of America. If I accept your offer right now,
yeah,
you're saying to me that you want me to be responsible for subjecting my children to carry a heavier backpack, okay, every day that they go to school, that their father agreed to establish a Muslim-free zone, okay? Are you an American Indian, Mr. Trump? At this point, he started stuttering.
Okay?
He literally started stuttering on the phone.
Oh my God.
And I said, at the end of it, I said to him, I said, Mr. Trump, before we end, I know that you just signed a Gucci lease on Fifth Avenue. And he had just done this monster lease where he had leased in the base of the building that he lives on Fifth Avenue and 56th Street. He did a monster deal with Gucci. I said to him, Mr. Trump, how much do you want for that lease? Because I'll pay you cash and I won't waste your time. He at that point hung up the phone on me.
Are you kidding? I wish you had recorded that.
He at that point hung up the phone at me and he literally went out and started going on the morning talk shows. And this is all you could Google this, and yeah, you could YouTube this, okay? Because it's still all there.
Give us a little history, what you wanted to do and where it is now.
Well, there's tremendous bedlam and tremendous angst going on downtown Manhattan. I mean, you see people, thousands and thousands of people, and they're literally close to rioting. It's really a terrible thing that's happening. And I'm a very big believer in freedom of religion, and I think people should have the right to build mosques or temples or churches or whatever they want to build. But this is in the shadow of the World Trade Center. It's one block from the World Trade Center, and people are really visibly shaken by it. And I read an article about 3 or 4 days ago where the developer's bragging about what a great deal he made. This is the developer, and he's saying what an unbelievable deal, et cetera, et cetera, and that it's worth $18 million or $20 million, and he paid $4.8 million. So I said, you know, this sounds more like a real estate transaction, and with all this trouble, maybe what I'll do is call up, offer him a nice profit, buy it. I don't even want it. I don't even like the location. It's not a great location as far as I'm concerned. So I called him, and he started bragging to me about what a great deal he made. I said, well, why don't you sell it? I'll give you your money back. He's a small-time developer. I'll give you your money back. I'll give you a 25% increase. I'll pay your costs. I'll pay everything. And we'll end this whole fiasco. And he said, no, I wouldn't do that. This is worth $18 or $20 million. I said, well, are the people that sold it stupid? Because I know the people that sold it, and they're not stupid. I said, you mean the real estate market in less than a year is 4 or 5 times what you paid? Well, they didn't know what they were doing. Oh, that's really, that's great. So the bottom line is I view it more as a real estate transaction for this guy than a mosque, frankly.
So where does it stand right now?
Well, he at least tells me that he thinks it's worth much more than he paid for it. I don't believe it is worth much more than he paid for it. I offered him a 25% profit. And in order to end this, not in order to buy this piece of real estate, which I need like a hole in the head, I offered him a 25% profit.
All right.
I guess he turned it down, but something should be done because I'll tell you what, it's only going to get worse.
He literally started going on the morning talk shows. And as he was going on the morning talk shows, he literally started calling me a sleazy developer,
yeah,
that was greedy and that he made me a fair offer and that I refused to take it because he literally, you know, first of all, it bothered me, one, because this was somebody that I looked up to in my career, right? Mm-hmm. I have a history of, you know, early in my career, I met his son, okay? And I had a relationship with his oldest son, Don Jr., who now has become a major pundit and face of the Republican National Party. He right. has become this conservative voice where he is, you know, regularly showcased on all media outlets, and he's essentially reinvented his personality into a sidekick for his father in a way. Him, you know, when his dad started going and pounding me essentially every day for, you know, multiple times during the day and really getting a lot of steam from that offer that he gave me, I called up Don and I said, Don, I go, what the hell is your father doing? Okay. You've known me for 10 years. Okay. Why is he trashing me on the news every day? Right. And the kid and Don apologized to me. He goes, yeah. Listen, I'm sorry. He sometimes goes on tangents. Okay. But I'm going to talk to him. Okay. I'm going to tell him that I know you and to kind of lay off you.
Yeah.
So the following day, and the interview's out there because it's still recorded, the following day he goes on one of the talk shows and he says nice things about me. So he literally flipped the switch, like literally the next day, and then Don called me and said, listen, he's not going to talk negative about you anymore. And so that was my experience with Don,
yeah.
with our president.
This is literally how he still behaves.